Welcome back to Dating Games, the Modern Relationships Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Temps, and I'm here with my guest co-host for the last host episode of the season, Stephanie Foster. Thoughts?
It's me. How is it the last episode of the season? I feel like we just got into this.
I know. Well, this is the thing, because you came on like midway through. It was like already in its stride. And I sort of have mixed feelings, because on one hand, I sort of need a break and I'm like working at the Edinburgh Festival this year. So I've got a really packed summer, you know, work-wise, social life-wise. And yeah, I'm having that like pre-nostalgia. I'm like,
yeah,
what is my life if I don't have an episode of Dating Games every week?
I completely understand that. I had that come down, if you will, after the tour. And it was just like, who am I when I'm not scheduling this? And like, it's not the forefront of my mind all of the time.
Yeah. And if there's been one question I've been asking myself a lot, like recently, in terms of dating, is does the show actually satiate my dating interest a lot of the time? And what I mean by that is, like, recently I've not had that much interest in dating. And I wonder how much of it is that I get to talk about dating every week and hear about other people's relationships and get invested in things. And, you know, and maybe with my like busy, hectic schedule, is that the emotional capacity I have right now?
I think that's totally valid if that is the case. But also, like, I don't know. I think it's normal to go in and out of wanting to put your own energy into relationships.
Yes. And to be fair, we are coming off the back of the last one of these we did. We were talking about a breakup, and the listeners will know I released that episode very late. And part of it was like how hectic things were. And I usually do the editing like over a weekend, because these bonus episodes go out on Mondays, which I'm almost like 100% sure we're going to have to change for next season. I think maybe it'll be Tuesdays, because it's been a lot of delays. Sundays is not a good day for me to be editing around other commitments. So, you know, around also trying to have a life as well as all my work life. So we'll see. But yeah, so part of it is like, you know, you come out of a relationship, even a brief one, and it makes sense to have a bit of time to reflect.
Definitely. Yeah. Honestly, anything is good after a break from it, you know? Like, I don't know. Looking back at this season and thinking about it, what was like the most surprising thing that happened this season?
Most surprising thing that happened? Well, I guess I end up learning about myself a lot on the show. You know, like, that's not really the point. Like, it's not what I came into this game for, huh?
Why not? Why can't it be?
I don't know. I think there's part of me that maybe feels selfish. There's something to unpack.
But like, so is starting a podcast. So like,
oh yeah, look at me being like, oh, this thing where I talk about myself and share all my opinions. Heaven forbid I also learn. No, you're right. Me learning is actually essential to that process. So I'm not just an echo chamber of nonsense.
But in all seriousness, I think that's why it's interesting to listen to your podcast, right? Like, people learn along with you, and it's interesting to go along in the journey of your process. I would say you're light years ahead of most people, and so to see you still learning things is probably part of the whole appeal of your podcast, you know? Like, people are interested just as much as their own dating lives as they now are in your journey about it. Like, otherwise you would not have this following. So people are excited for you to A, get something positive out of this for yourself, but B, like, watching someone else learn is you learning in tandem. And so I think, like, that's fine. That's great. It's so much more interesting to watch someone learn something new than it is to watch someone hear something they already know.
You're right. I think you're right on all of this. And as long as I don't think about the pressure of, like you say, people getting invested in my dating life and how it goes, I think it's a good fun time. I really enjoy making this show. I love getting to connect with new people and like getting to chat to you loads. And yeah, it is really eye-opening, but I think that's why I kind of feel inclined to look at some of the things I've learned as the surprising things, because it's still something where, you know, I do really try and push like the guests forward, and like it's very much about their stories. And actually the episodes where I talk more tend to be the ones where, like, you know, the guest maybe answers with very short answers, or they're very keen for me to like take up some of the pressure. Maybe they're a bit nervous and so they want me to speak more. You know, I never really come in being like, okay, this is the episode I'm gonna, you know, we're gonna talk about all my stuff, other than, you know, maybe the host episode if there's something really on my mind. So it's been an experience. It's been a lot of learning. And whenever people ask me what I've learned from the show, I go back to certain things. You know, like in season one, a big part of it was realizing I had a problem with self-esteem in relationships. That my confidence was really good in so many areas because I'd like fought for it, and I'd really had to work on like not hating myself in so many ways. And yet, for whatever reasons, an area that had been kind of neglected was me feeling confident and that I had enough to offer in relationships.
I love that. I don't know, like, I just feel this pull to want you to soak up everything that you've done. Because, like, that's part of this break too, right? Is to regain all of your energy and excitement and all of those kind of good things. Mm-hmm. And the way I do that is kind of like going back and recapping of like, oh my gosh, look at all of this. Look at how many people we talked to. Like, when was the hardest thing that I laughed? Like, all of those things. Like, when I say people are involved and invested in your relationship, I think a better way I could have worded that was like, after listening to your podcast, it's really fucking hard not to root for you. And so in that, I mean, like, that's how people are invested. Like, they just want to hear about your journey because, like, it is very easy to root for you.
Oh, no, I really appreciate that. And that's what I will say. There's definitely a noted upswing. You know, that issue around confidence is, I would say, a majority addressed now. And even in the last relationship we've talked about, I think I approached a lot of that quite differently as a result. And I think felt a lot better in it as a result. So that's really fun. I guess the kind of realizations this season have been around like open relationship stuff and me realizing, I don't know why it remains a surprise to me, but there's been loads of times where I've been surprised how like comfortable I've been in certain new relationship dynamics, or how much it kind of feels I have kind of skills to navigate some of the complexities more than I thought I did. It feels both organic and surprising, like a lot of the stuff I've learned this season. And that's been quite a fun thing to have listeners come along on. Like, a lot of the listeners have, you know, tried out like the dating app field for the first time. Even like, you know, friends of mine have tried it out who maybe, you know, wouldn't have really considered like ethical non-monogamy or, you know, even heard of an app like that. And that's been quite fun to sort of see how other people are getting on. So I feel very privileged to have it. And hopefully it's a good sign that those of my friends listen. That it's a compelling show versus they're like, what's the gossip? What stupid mistakes is he making now?
Yeah.
So I'm enjoying it. And so, no, it feels brilliant. And we're potentially in the running for an Irish Podcast Award this year.
Ooh.
I know, which is the first ever Irish Podcast Awards. They're launching this year. I'm a part of like organizing some of it. I'm a part of judging. I'm obviously not judging my own categories I've entered into, just that's the disclaimer. And so that'll be really exciting. And there'll be an award ceremony in September right here in like the heart of Dublin. And yeah, we'll see. We won't find out until September, but that would mean the world.
That would be so cool. Are you going to like chip a quarter of it off and mail it to me, or?
Yeah, we'll have to figure that bit out. But no, definitely, I'm really grateful for you being a part of this as well. And like, even the timing of that feels so right. Like, you know, me being back here, the awards launching, me getting to be a part of them. Even the fact that the awards is in September and the show comes back at the start of October, like to be coming into season three with that kind of strength. And I'm going to tell you now, I'm going hard with next season. Like the guests, really good. I even have the second episode of season three. I'm recording next week. So, you know, like break in air quotes. I am going to take some time off, but we're going to be fucking ready. I'm potentially looking at different theme music, potentially an update to the cover art. Loads of things happening.
Oh my God.
And I will tell you this, it's been a fun journey whenever I choose theme music, because I've had to do it for both my shows now. There's a lot of ones that I think would be very entertaining, but actually make no marketable sense. So for example, there's a track by an artist called I Am Not Shane, and it's called Maybe My Soulmate Died. And I've been listening to this on repeat, and it's very catchy, and it's him listing all the ways in which like somebody got away. Like maybe I saw you on a train, but I walked on by, maybe you died, like all these different situations. And it's very kind of my like mix of romanticism and cynicism.
Yes.
I think it would be a very funny theme tune. I don't think it really makes sense. With maybe the optimism we're trying to go for with the show. So we'll see.
Well, you know, I put a lot of work into my theme song, so.
Your theme song is brilliant. Maybe I need something like that.
Well, I can give you the guy's name who wrote it.
Okay, we'll see. We no spoilers. We'll see what happens.
Deep down.
I did also say I'd tell you about a recent episode that was an experience.
God. Yes, please tell me. Please tell me. I'm really excited.
Well, you know, I partly feel like a lot of the listeners will be wondering what happened with this episode. I did an episode with a comic called Evan, which will be out a few weeks before this one. And I'll be honest, you know, hopefully he doesn't listen to this. Because I was like, I wouldn't normally address like...
Podcaster of the year, Bobby Timms, everybody.
No, this isn't me ragging on... This isn't me ragging on Evan, but necessarily. But what I will say is I've never felt so uncomfortable in an interview.
Really?
Yeah, and I even talked about him a little bit about it, like behind the paywall bit, you know, the bit we do for the subscribers. And because the way each one of those starts, the sort of debrief conversation we have is me like checking in of like, how did you find that chat? And then often they bring up things like they forgot to say, or they like expand on it. Like it's a good kind of casual way of sort of, you know, adding a bit of extra to the interview. And often they like open up a lot more there. And so, as was a kind of theme throughout the episode, he was asking me as many questions as I was asking him. So when I asked him how he found that, he then, of course, returned the question. And then I was kind of like, well, how much of this do I try and not make him uncomfortable? Because this is already an uncomfortable conversation. But also part of me feels like I do, you know, do want to address it. And so I was like, well, I don't know how that was. Like, I'm not used to being asked quite so many questions. And I think part of it that really threw me was, so he was asking me if I thought watching pornography is cheating in a relationship. And I accept that there is nuance to that question, and that absolutely it can be a thing you talk about with your partner and find your own answer together. But my broad answer to the question, with the nuance removed, and he also agreed with me because, well, he said he did. And also the dating story he told was about an ex that partly broke up with him because she thought watching porn was cheating. So we were on the same side, right? In theory. But he kept like drilling me and trying to like find holes in my thought process. And then later on in the conversation, like said something contrary to that. And I had to be like, but I thought we established I didn't think it was cheating. It was a strange chat. It was, and I told him in the bit behind the paywall, I was like, the word I used was combative. Like it felt combative. And so I don't know whether it was like a bit too much of his like crowd work persona coming through on the episode or what it was.
How did he respond when you used the word combative?
He was kind of apologetic then, but like also surprised. I also did mention like another comic where I was like, oh, you know, this another comic I interviewed recently, I thought you guys would have a similar vibe because you're both so kind of like friendly. And I mean, they're also both Canadian. I didn't mean to like stereotype, but
right.
You know, they're both Canadians that live in Manchester and are comics. Like they have some similarities in their life. Yeah. And then he sort of reacted to that a bit and was like, oh, you know, so you're saying that I was bad, but Alison June Smith was great. And I'm like, I don't know what to say to that. It was weird. It was such a strange interview. So I nearly didn't put it out. And then I also, in the edit, was a bit unsure what to do with it because my producer, Pete, does a round of editing and then I do a round of editing. And so I tend to like tune it up. Like if there's a bit that, you know, was over-explained, I take it out. If I ask a question and my question was too long or convoluted, I crop it in. I take out some of the unnecessary pauses, you know, these kind of things. And, you know, just help the conversation flow more. And, you know, rarely do I have to take anything out that's necessarily inappropriate. But there was part of me that's like, do I need a spin on this? Do I try and edit it down so some of the weird things he says are gone and he's more likable? But then also, I don't think I'd really be authentically hosting a show as myself if I was like, oh yeah, and we're going to pretend that none of the men are ever creepy or make people feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, and it's also like, I'm sure your tone changes afterwards. So like, people kind of need to understand the why behind that. And if you're to cut those parts out, it just makes you look like a dick.
Exactly. So as much as this isn't really a victory, the fact that so many of my friends have come back to me and been like, I could hear that you were really uncomfortable is kind of reassuring.
Very.
I was like, okay, so I've not ended my career with this awkward episode. not that I thought the stakes were that, but yeah.
It's sorry you had to go through that. I feel like I personally love awkward situations, but only when I'm not the one involved. I like to be like right next to them and instigate them and be like, well, you know, so I'm glad I wasn't there.
Well, this is the thing. Yeah, because it's tricky when you're on air, right? Because you're sort of more limited on what you can do. Like if somebody makes me feel really uncomfortable in person, I'm either going to have it out with them or I'm going to walk away. And neither of those really feel like an option when you're like, but I still need to like record 20 minutes more with this person and keep the conversation flowing. Like you're kind of firefighting in a sort of a different position.
That, and I think there's also like the dynamic of you as the host have invited this person into your home per se to have this conversation. So like, that's also why it's not acceptable to feel like you can correct them, feel like you can, you know, walk away or anything like that. So God, that must have been so much pressure on you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Can we clearly say that was the most difficult episode of the season?
I think that probably was the most difficult episode. And like some of them are tricky for different reasons, right? Like some of them are tricky in ways that are completely like situational. You know, some guests just give really short answers and then I have to ask twice as many questions. So like I'm just really kept on my toes.
Right.
You know, as you'd imagine, there are comics out there where it's tricky for me to get a word in if they're used to being the only one with a mic. So, you know, they can all be, you know, different experiences, but that's part of why I love doing it. You know, I really enjoy it. And so the vast majority of the time, I walk away being like, yeah, good. And actually, that was quite a nice, like, self-esteem thing, I'd say, even coming out of the pandemic, when you're feeling kind of awkward around people and you're sort of wondering, do I still have social skills? Do I still have dating skills? It was actually so lovely to still have my podcast and having continued the whole way through that I had that kind of reminder of, okay, I'm good at this. Like this area of socializing.
Yeah, I definitely went the opposite way and had so much anxiety afterwards because I still feel like that. I'm like, I'm not going to be able to keep up conversation. There's going to be some awkward moments. Like, oh, I love that. For this next season, as you look ahead, do you see yourself making steers in any different directions purposefully, or are you going to kind of let it flow? Is there anything you want to change for next season? I'm wondering.
Well, I realize that so many of these questions I'm answering in such an introspective way, but I think that's a reflection, honestly, of how much counseling I've had.
Yeah.
You know, this is a very personal project to me. So,
yeah.
You know, the first
it's
thing.
Talking about your dating life. I mean, what else could you be but introspective?
True. And, you know, as the host, you're kind of the arbiter of a certain amount of the tone of the show, right? And so certain things do jump to mind when you ask that question. Like, I did have a lot of insecurity around, like, even talking about the ethical non-monogamy stuff, partly because it was, like, new to me. And, you know, I was comfortable talking about the newness, but there was part of me that's like, okay, well, what if, like, in 2 months' time, I think very differently on it. You know, I felt the need to like both be honest about my newness, but then still try and like make sense as much as possible. And then that coupled with being like, oh, but does this change the tone of the show? Like, will this turn anyone off if they're like only looking for monogamous relationships? Are they going to be like, oh, another episode where Bob's is going off about this stuff? And I'm pleased to say that has not been the response at all. If anything, it's the opposite. If anything, people have been way more intrigued and had a lot more questions than I thought. And so that's been exciting to be like, oh, okay, this really sparked something. This thing that I thought might be, you know, unrelatable or seem a bit irrelevant to some people, actually people are like, oh, that's really got me thinking. Even if it's not for me, it's got me thinking about things in my monogamous relationship, or it's, you know, making me ask questions about like, how did you have certain conversations about boundaries and things? Because, you know, those are necessary in any kind of dynamic.
I also think it's like, you know, like monogamous relationships and talking about those has been done to death, especially in the podcast world. So I think the fact that you are taking a different look, like there's so much curiosity in another way to do it, to look at it, all of those kinds of things. So I don't know. I personally like, I would say I haven't done any ethical non-monogamy, but like I have thoroughly enjoyed being able to ask you the tough questions about it that I can't ask anybody else. So it's been fun for me.
I'm glad and I appreciate that. It's been really fun for me too. And I guess that's the best way I can answer the question, that I think I'll continue to explore what relationships do look like. You know, there's a reason why our tagline is the Modern Relationships Podcast. And I did come into making the show with that in mind. I think particularly we've talked about in recent episodes, like with my friend Kiva, you know, young people are questioning, you know, in so many different ways and maybe more than ever, what relationships mean nowadays. Like, what do we actually want from them? What kind of dynamic? What level of commitment? You know, marriage is a thing that's up for question in a whole different ways. Even the people that are really pro-marriage, like two of my friends that are about to get married, the ceremony is like nothing I ever kind of grew up imagining of marriage. They're really doing it their own way. And that's really beautiful. It feels so them, you know? And that's exciting. And so I think that'll be like very at the forefront of my mind going into next season of, okay, what are the different routes here? Like, how do we represent the kind of place that so many people are in now? You know, because I don't just think it's an age thing. I also think it's where we're at in this day and age, that people are looking for different things and they're feeling more comfortable exploring. And so, yeah, that's going to be exciting.
I think you're right. I think like I've noticed that in myself, in the way that for a straight woman, once you realize that you like men, you kind of stop the exploration past that. You're like, okay, I'm straight. There you go. And I think now a lot more women are realizing like, oh, I could have asked myself more questions beyond that. Not that I wouldn't have gotten to this exact same place, but like, I've never asked myself those questions because I liked men and I thought that was, it's a binary question and that's it.
Yeah, I get what you mean there. It sort of reminds me as well, while we're being really honest, you know, there are all these kind of considerations you have making a show like this and trying to, you know, grow it and figure out what it'll be. And one of them that, you know, would make me really uncomfortable at times was being like, oh, do I need to think about like demographics? Right? Because I am around a lot of kind of diversity in my personal life. And I have like a lot of different perspectives to the extent where it's very normalized to me. So it's funny when I like talk to people in my life and, you know, they mention, oh, I really like this episode. And I'm like, okay, so what was the guest name? They don't always remember, right? Because they haven't had to like research the guest like I have. And often they'll be like, oh, like the American comedian or, you know, the Scottish lady or whatever. And, you know, I don't think I think about it as much like that because I'm used to like all the different accents in my life.
Right.
And so there were times when I was kind of working on like establishing where the show fits and, you know, how it makes sense in the podcasting space. And I did find myself like having questions I didn't want of like, you know, like the gender split of the guests or people wondering about like, oh, you know, are you trying to like represent or attract any particular like sexuality perspectives? And I'm like, I just think a lot of this stuff is more universal than we give it credit for. Like, no, the answer is no. Like I like having a mix of guests, but it's not particularly intentional. You know, I do try and represent different perspectives, of course, but I'm not going to allow myself to feel self-conscious about like, oh, we had two episodes with gay comedians in a row. Like, I don't believe that's going to change anything in terms of the listenership. I don't want listeners that are going to be fickle enough to be like, oh, that's not my sexuality. Because exactly like you're saying, there is so much you can learn. You know, like there's a lot we can learn about gender roles from same-sex couples that maybe you're not going to find as easily from a straight perspective, for example.
Well, case in point, well, maybe not case in point because I can't remember the word, but you taught me a word that was a different kind of love that you experience in non-monogamous relationships that you don't experience in monogamous ones. What is it?
It's compassion. There you go. I can teach you another one that I really like. So there's various names that people use for the unethical non-monogamy, the people you're connected to romantically, or I guess the people you're connected to like via your partners, even platonically, so like your partner's partner or whatever. You can call that a constellation.
Cute!
I know, isn't that lovely? And another one that I quite liked, because I don't mind saying it now because I'm not in the relationship anymore, but there was, when I was with T, there was a part of me that's like, I kind of wanted a word to call K. Like it sort of felt clunky to be like, oh, my boyfriend's wife. And
yeah,
it turns out that there is a word for it. And the term for it is metamor. So that's the partner of your partner that you're not romantically involved in. And if you are romantically involved with them, like you share a person, then that person is a paramour, like the band.
Is that what the Paramore band is? Is that why their name is that?
You've caught me out of my depth. I don't know. I don't know enough about them.
This podcast is now a conspiracy theory podcast. Let's go.
But no, I like that. And it's, look, it's a lot more favorable than the term that I was kind of itching to use, even though I knew it was not appropriate, which is sister wife.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say metamor sounds more loving and less like, I don't know, shitty American TV show focused.
So,
I like Metamorph. That's nice.
I think so. So there you go. So we're learning new words. I'm such a language nerd. I try not to go on about it too much because I'm aware of the extent of my nerddom. I would just end up with a word podcast.
I'd listen to it. I'm such a word nerd. Like, to know that there is the right word for something, ugh, the pleasure I get from that.
It's beautiful, right? So what shall we talk about next? We've got like another 15 minutes. We're feeling the pressure of like, this is the final one. What else needs to be addressed?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of any other good questions I can ask you to like reflect on this season.
Ooh, one that I think some of the gamers might be wondering about is we did trial a different segment. So okay. With John Marco Ceresi, who's comedian based in New York, giving you there right now, maybe you'll run into him.
Amazing.
And we did one which was choosing something to put in the bin. So you know how we normally do our rule of the game, where we try and kind of set something to try and live by, and instead we tried, you know, what thing in dating needs to go in the bin. And I thought like that would be a fun one to kind of like have a bit of a rant. It might be quite funny. We can see if I can think of enough to last a whole 10 months of a season. And I wasn't sure if it quite clicked. So I think I'm gonna keep the rules of the game. People really like them. And I think it's a way to like add, you know, one extra bump of insight into the episode just before we close. So I think that works. However, I think I'm gonna keep it in my back pocket. And if there's certain guests where I'm like, they're definitely gonna have a good rant about dating, I can tell, then I think I'll pull that one out.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's comics, right? So we're great at ranting about things.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's been an excellent question.
Yeah, or maybe it could be a good thing as well if I... Ooh, maybe this is a decision we can make. Perhaps when I'm re-interviewing somebody, then they've got a different thing to answer.
Smart. That's how you know they're like an OG guest.
Yeah, they've got to level up. They've got to come into the dating game twice.
Boop,
Yeah, Pete, you can find some fun, whatever a level up sound effect is. We might have to employ it in future.
How many episodes did you record this season?
So as of today, the 18th of July, episode 53 just went out.
Dang.
Yeah, because it's one a week, but then obviously the host episodes as well, which, you know, can be a bit intermittent, but I think moving them to Tuesday will help for next season. I'm also thinking we might experiment with some different formats of these as well, so we'll see. But yeah, it's kind of wild. It's wild to think between the two seasons now, I think we're closing in on 100 episodes.
That's so crazy. You should be so proud of yourself.
Thank you. Who knew I had this many opinions on dating? I definitely did. I knew. All my friends knew.
You were like, I've always known. I just needed a place to let them out.
Mm-hmm. Some of my exes definitely knew. But no, I think I'm feeling in a good place with it. And I think it sounds like you are as well, that we're both like feeling very open, but we've maybe worked to unpick some of the pressures. And that's definitely something that, here's a thing, a fucking turning point of the season. The episode I did with Shaney Silver, where she's like a pioneer of, both through her writing and her podcasting, challenging single shame, and is so incredible. And I was rightly called out in many ways on that episode. Like it was one I was so glad to record because, you know, there were certain things that just highlighted, like, I didn't believe in single shame, but I didn't realize the extent to how it had still infected me anyway. And in particular, the one that springs to mind is I was talking about like the importance of being happy in your singledom. And that's a really good thing for like personal growth. And then I kind of like circled up my point by being like, and also it does make you more attractive to a potential partner. And she was like, no. You should be doing this stuff for yourself. It shouldn't have to be justified via someone else's validation because, you know, that means something in a way that you being a whole person on your own doesn't. And I was like, ah, okay. You're right. So that was a good one where I think I kind of more quietly railed against single shame. And I'm like someone that has been single a lot of my adult life and, have had to answer certain questions. But I think after that interview, I was like even more tuned into it.
I love that. I love that. Yeah, single shame is real.
And I'm also aware that I get less of it as a man as well.
Yeah.
Oh, I definitely think so. Yeah.
Good.
No, that's not good. That's sexism.
Oh, I was hearing it the other way.
Oh, you thought I get more as a man. Okay. Like shame that bachelor. No, what I mean part of it is like people aren't asking me about my biological clock inappropriately and stuff like that. But also,
That's
yeah,
fair.
a lot of it is like how value can be placed in weird ways on women in society still so much.
Absolutely.
You know, your value can be so commonly associated with like, okay, but like, what about the family that you're meant to be creating? What about the husband you're meant to be minding? What about the kids that we've decided you should have?
Especially with Roe versus Wade being turned back. I mean, like, we as women have lost agency over our own bodies. It's illegal in some states to not want to be a mom. Like, that's crazy to me.
It's so wild. It's so wild. And are you aware of the shockwave of that globally? Because that is being talked about everywhere right now.
I hope so. I mean, it feels inhumane. It feels insane that our grandmothers have more rights than we do. Like, it feels really scary. So it gives me a little bit of hope to know that everyone else is like, that's fucked up too. It feels like I'm just living in a different world. I cannot believe that happened.
Yeah. And you look back at it and you can see all the things that were creeping up to that as well. You know, and it is scary because you do wonder, okay, well, what's next? Whose rights are going to be taken next?
Whose rights? And like, I think historically speaking, that's the first time we've taken anyone's rights away that quickly. And so that part scares me. What's next? But I think the other part is like, with every point of progress, you're going to get some pushback. We made a lot of headway, and so this is part of the pushback. And now we just have to regain forces and keep pushing forward. I mean, unfortunately, it's not a linear process. And that's something I'm telling myself every single day to not get too frustrated about it, to be honest. But like, thank you for saying that. That makes me very hopeful that other people are talking about it as well.
Yeah, they definitely are. And there is this, broad sentiment of how fucked up it is, irrespective of whether irrespective of the amount to which American politics personally affects you. And that's really lovely to see that it actually has been a unifying moment in a lot of ways, even though it's so fucked what this, moment itself is. And I agree with you. I think, the progress can be really bumpy. This is a bump we were not fucking expecting. It's such a major pushback and it raises so many other questions because there's a lot of, I don't need to tell you, a lot of already really fucked up ways in which the law works in the States, where now this opens all kinds of new questions of, monitoring. Like there's certain monitoring abilities to do with like people's search history in certain states. There's certain monitoring to do with, people's medical records having different levels of privacy. And so the idea of not just the thing itself, but also all the ways in which women could be additionally monitored and policed in order to enforce this is so scary and so far-reaching. And
That's definitely terrifying.
yeah. And so I think like you, whilst of course it doesn't, affect me in anything the same extent. I don't even know how to phrase that to, do you know what I mean? To like correctly address the level of the divide to how much more it affects you. And yet I still feel the need to like find some solace in, I know things will get better. Like progress will come again. And, the world and the brilliant women in particular that I know are leading such great campaigns against this, they're not going to let it go.
No.
Thank God.
No. Yeah, thank God for sure. And like, I don't know. I think it's just not letting it be one of those things that we got mad about when it happened, like continuing to be mad with us all along the way, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I think this time around, I have seen more than I have seen in the past, and it has meant a lot to me, the men in my life speaking out, because I feel like the women are exhausted.
Yeah. Yeah, understandably so. And I do hope that that is going to be something that continues to be cumulative, that, you know, people are getting the experience of speaking out on issues that don't affect them as directly, whether that be like Black Lives Matter, whether that be, you know, gender rights, whether that be to do with rights over your body, your autonomy, your legal representation in all these forms. Yeah, I hope so. You know, allyship is something we can all practice. And here's a nice note to end on. If there's something that I'm most proud about with my work, I think it would be very difficult to listen to a lot of episodes of either of my shows and hold hatred or deep ignorance around any group of people, because we really do try and like represent and have really broad discussions here. And it's not a big political statement. It's actually just who I am, and it's what I'm passionate about. I want to hear loads of different perspectives. I want to interview people and understand, you know, the differences, but also find the similarities. Like, I do think that is how we heal the world just a little bit. And so that's really cool to be like, okay, maybe there's certain voices that are so underrepresented, like right now, like, for example, trans voices. Not here. You know, not on my show.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. So that's how I'm feeling. I'm feeling grateful, and I'm feeling optimistic for the next season, and I'm feeling slightly too warm because it's 27 degrees in Dublin. And we don't have the aircon in this country to be working in this heat.
Well, I'm feeling very proud of you.
Thank you.
And very lucky to have these conversations with you each month. They're so much fun.
Yeah, me too. Cool. Well, for now then, the only thing to mention to the gamers to finish out is, so this is the last host episode, as we mentioned. The season does, of course, end at the end of July. We'll be back the beginning of October. So there's 2 months off, but I am planning to re-release some of my favourite episodes of this season. So have a bit of that extra time to reflect. You'll get to rediscover some that are really worth the second listen, and potentially you'll find, you know, maybe you dip in and out. Maybe you're new to the show, so you might find some totally new gems. So it's going to be good.
Amazing.
Yeah, so that's the plan. So we'll have re-releases through the summer and then be back in October with a whole new season. Loads of changes. I'm so excited.
Me too.
All right, that's that. If people want to find you online, see your shows, maybe even catch you whilst you're currently in New York doing some gigs.
Yeah, they can follow me on Instagram at SLU Foster, Slu Foster. That's me. And I post about all my shows there.
Yes, you do wonderful social media. I do almost nothing. But you can, of course, catch me on Mental, the Modern Relationships podcast every Thursday. And that one does not take any breaks. So I will be keeping busy with that. We always have a real mix of guests, and we have over 250 episodes in the back catalogue. So there's definitely something there. There's also part of, I don't know if I've even mentioned this before, part of the reason for knowing this show would have an audience, most of the most popular episodes ever on that show are the ones where we talk about relationships as a factor in mental health.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, clearly there's two big topics here to talk about, and maybe one of them needs its own show too. So yeah, look out for those as well, would recommend. For now, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for sticking with us, And yeah, see you in October.
Bye, friends.
Thanks for listening. You can support the show, get ad-free episodes and bonus content by joining our new subscription on Apple Podcasts.
This replaces our Patreon and it's slightly cheaper.
Our show is edited and produced by Pete Murta,
with music by the brilliant Tessa Violet.
Speak to you next Friday. Until then, good luck out there.